verse is going to read to us again, a short part from a short book of Obadiah. She's going to read Obadiah verses 15 to 18.
The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your head, just as you drank from the holy hill. So all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and be as if they had never been. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and Jacob will possess his inheritance. Jacob will be a fire, and Joseph a flame. Issue will be stubble, and they will set him on fire and destroy him. There will be no survivors from Issue. The Lord has spoken.
Right, hopefully, I'm going to ask, we've got a video, care of YouTube.
The book of the prophet Obadiah.
Now, as I said earlier, and I've been given a real challenge this morning, I want to share with you about the book of Obadiah. Now, I'll repeat some of what he said there, and then I'm going to actually try and find some of the things he didn't. It is the shortest book in the Old Testament, and I think it's the fourth shortest book in the whole Bible. It's got 21 verses, and in the New International and the King James, it's 670 words approximately. And this does depend on what version you read. Now, who is Obadiah? His name means servant of Jehovah. Now, my first problem, and everybody else's first problem, is nobody can agree on when Obadiah lived or when the book was written. So I'm going to give you a few things I found. You'll see the problem I've had. My reference Bible gives the time of writing as 899 to 795 BC. That's 100 years. My Williams commentary says it was written about 200 years after Amos. My reference Bible gives the writing of Amos as 824 to 810 BC. We're spreading around a bit now. Other sources give the 9th or the 6th century BC. Spreading out even further. Others say he lived and studied with Jeremiah in the 600s BC. My study Bible says the most likely time is 587 BC when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, but hedges its bets on 845 BC under Jehoram. Oh dear. Where do we go now? The Interpreter's Bible says the mid-5th century BC after the exile. I'll give you another one in a minute. We'll go through some other things first. This could be a very short sermon, but I've added a bit to it. I hope you don't mind. In the absence of historical accuracy, we just look at what the Bible says, or what this book says. Now, I was going to ask for some slides up now, but that doesn't matter. Edom, the kingdom of Edom, where it is now is we're half in Jordan and half in Israel. It is the south of Israel, if you like, right at the bottom, almost into Egypt. And that's where it is. Edom was an ancient kingdom in Transjordan, located between Moab to the northeast, the Arabah to the west, and the Arabian Desert to the south and east. Most of its former territory is now divided between present-day southern Israel and Jordan. Edom appears in written sources relating to the Late Bronze Age and to the Iron Age in Levant. That's the Edomites, as we heard there, were both descended from Abraham, and throughout the ages had many battles. They didn't like each other, they hated each other. They both had a completely different attitude to God. Edom had a corruption of truth and violence to those around them, and they were very similar to Babylonians. The prophecies relate to the destruction of Edom, verses 1 to 9, and the cause of their death. The book of Obadiah deals specifically with Edom's judgment. The Edomites were proud, violent, and apathetic to the destruction of Israel, and God promised a reckoning. After the Edomites were driven from their land by Naatians, some good words here, aren't there? they migrated to the southern part of Israel and became known as Idumeans. But the book doesn't finish there. The day of the Lord, verse 15, the future day of God's wrath. We move forward. Verse 16 moves on to the future and annihilation of all nations. We heard that there. Edom ceased to exist. And today there's no country called Edom at all. The prophecy continues, again as we heard there, to the restoration of Israel. To further complicate matters, my commentary goes on to tell me this was written 2,400 years ago. That means 400 BC. So we've gone from 899 BC to 400 BC. He laughed at it for a long time, this bloke, didn't he? Must have been pretty old at the end. So I'll leave Obadiah and his problems and move forward to the present day. Where does a reading lead us? Well, we know all through the Bible sin leads to death and destruction, and righteousness leads to salvation. We have a tremendous advantage in knowing what the future can hold for us. It needn't be death and destruction. No doom and gloom. God has given us a get out. All the way through the Old Testament, God points us through the power of the Holy Spirit to the coming of the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. Well, he's come. He's died for our sins. He's risen from the dead. He promised us that life doesn't end when we physically die. There is a big but. We have to put ourselves right with God, not just at this moment, when we give our lives to Jesus, but we do carry on sinning, getting things wrong. Sometimes we sin the same things, time after time. I sin. I feel that saying sorry to God and meaning it regularly can't do any harm, can it? It can only do good. God cannot stand sin. So should we take our sins to the foot of the cross and be washed clean by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord, who died to save for us? Shall we put ourselves right with him? Is it a constant thing? Can we now just have a moment of quiet? Close our eyes and think. Can we say sorry to God, knowing that we've done things wrong? And sometimes keep repeating these wrong things. We don't know when our lives are going to end. I personally don't want to be left behind when Jesus comes. I want to claim that place that Jesus promised in the new kingdom. Do you? I hope so. We can claim that so easily, just asking Jesus to forgive us our sins and come into our lives. Even if we've asked it before, it's a constant thing. We've got to ask the Lord to come and fill our lives. And sometimes we kick him out when we get things wrong. We should be asking the constant infilling of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you to join me again in prayer? Father, we do get things wrong and we're sorry. Help us, Lord, to put things we've done wrong right. Help us not to do wrong. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us in our lives, Lord. And we thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know.